Welcome, everybody. It's Rob Zicari. Yes. January 6th, 2016. We're live and we are ready to get rations, get emergency water, I guess. We're ready for North Korea to bomb us. We're ready to take shelter. Listen to me. What the hell is going on in this country right now? That's all I want to know. What the hell is going on in this country right now? You've got state-run media obsessed Obama's executive action on guns. Obsessed. And when I say obsessed, not in a way that would outrage them, not in a way that would show what Obama is doing once again is acting like a dictator. No. They are creating countdowns to town hall meetings hosted by Anderson Cooper, a guy that I gotta say is a horrible man. Just horrible, a horrible, horrible man. Horrible. How he treats women, horrible. Anderson Cooper, I know you're saying, Rob, whoa, you're being a little crazy. But go to the Rob Black, Rob Zicari Show .com. Go to Rob Zicari Twitter. Go to Extreme Politics. You're talking about guns. You're talking about town hall meetings. You're obsessed with things that at the end of the day is not going to destroy this country. But what state-run media will not talk about is North Korea. And I say North Korea having a field day. That's the only way I could describe it. A field day with their weapons development, making hydrogen bombs, nuclear bombs, you name whatever type of bomb you want to call it. But these bombs are strong enough to create earthquakes. Iran testing missiles. You haven't heard that. You haven't heard that. Downplayed. Because it makes this administration look unbelievably silly, unbelievably weak. Missiles. I know you're saying, well, Iran's got missiles. No. We're talking missiles that definitely can reach Israel. Missiles that can definitely penetrate its Iron Dome. Missiles that came within 1,500 yards of a U.S. warship. And this is all after we all shook hands, sung kumbaya, and decided to lift all sanctions against Iran and make them our friends. And state-run media is obsessed with guns. The left is obsessed with guns. What the hell is going on? Seriously, what is going on? You watch these cable shows from your Wolf Blitzers, your Don Lemons. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, last week, Don Lemon was obsessed with Bill Cosby. Don Lemon, the guy talking about Kathy Griffin's boobs, that guy, drunk Don Lemon. This guy is obsessed with Bill Cosby. But nobody talks about Iran. Nobody talks about North Korea. Is this? Because it shows failure. Utter failure by this administration, by Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State. Failure. So you got to take the American people, especially the liberals, because the ones that watch CNN, the ones that watch MSNBC, the ones that watch the ABC George Stephanopoulos, the Charlie Roses, they're all liberals. All liberals. So you got to take those liberals and you got to put their eyes on something else. You got to distract them. You got to distract them. That's what you do. You distract them. Subterfuge. Okay? The media, just call the media, just call state-run media the wolf. Okay? Just call them the wolf. You remember Pulp Fiction? When Vincent and Jules shoot Marvin in the face, they shoot him right in the face. And they go see Jean and Toluca Lake, and they call him the wolf. The wolf solves problems. And they clean the car up. They soak up the pools of blood and the itty-bitty pieces of brain. They get Aunt Jenny. They get the linens from Aunt Jenny and Uncle Conrad. The way they could create a subterfuge, so if any buddy sticks their snouts in the car at first, it looks clean. Well, that's a state-run media. You've got these serious, serious threats that didn't just happen. They've been happening. And this is like the third nuclear test, or whatever you want to call it. The big debate is, was it nuclear? Was it what was it? An H-bomb? Was it, you know what? It was something big that created an earthquake. How's that? It was something big that created an earthquake. Third time. Iran, ISIS. I mean, the Middle East is going to explode. I mean, that wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing. Wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing considering the headaches that that region provides. But nonetheless, we have issues abroad that are really, really starting to boil over. And we're talking about gun show loopholes. We are. We're talking about gun show loopholes. That's the big debate. Gun show loopholes. Talk about subterfuge. Seriously. You want to talk about distractions? Oh my gosh. Like I said, what? A week ago? 5 days ago? 5 months ago? 2012. Barack Hussein Obama won the presidency with about 67 million votes. Mitt Romney lost about 61 million votes. Those 6 or 7 million votes that could swing the election are the 6 or 7 million viewers of CNN, MSNBC, Charlie Rose, Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper. The list goes on. 6-7 million people need to have their eyeballs diverted from what's going on, because if they knew what was going on, they would not vote for Hillary Clinton. Plain and simple. Because if you vote for Hillary Clinton, when it comes to North Korea, when it comes to Iran, when it comes to these situations, she's going to do the exact same thing that Obama has done for 7 years and will continue to do until his term is up. Plain and simple. So state-run media, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the NBCs, the ABCs, they have to divert those 7 million because there's going to be 60 million that are going to vote Democrat no matter what. You're going to have about 60 million no matter what that are going to cheer the Joan Walshes, the Wolf Blitzers, Lawrence O'Donnell's. They're going to put Rachel Maddow on their shoulders, parade her around the streets of San Francisco. So they can never be swayed. It's about 7, maybe 8 million that actually have thinking brains. And those are the ones that have to be diverted. Those are the ones that have to have the subterfuge. Those are the ones that if they knew what was really going on, Hillary Clinton would not, I repeat, become president of the United States. Simple. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I mean, this North Korea thing's a big deal. This North Korea thing's a really big deal. It's the third time. And they keep getting hit by sanctions, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Now you have the United Nations scrambling to have an emergency meeting. Gus, more sanctions. What more sanctions? What more can be done? What more can be taken away from North Korea? Their only friend is China. And we all know how we deal with China. We bend over for them. We bend over and we open wide. So the only person that actually has real leverage over North Korea is China. And China doesn't respect us. China bends us over anytime they can. Hell, anytime. It's a constant. It's a constant bending over. So North Korea has already had everything taken away from them. I mean, they don't even have food. Seriously, they don't even have food there. But the United Nations are going to hold another round of meetings to discuss more sanctions. And the Obama administration said, we're looking into the matter, and if we do find out that this was truly a hydrogen bomb or some other nuclear device, we will take actions accordingly. No, they won't. No, they won't. Just like they never took action in Syria. Remember, Obama drew that line in the sand. Remember, he drew the line in the sand and said, hey, Assad, if you cross that line, there's going to be hell to pay. And guess what? Assad not only put his toe over the line, he put his feet, he put his body, he put his friend's body. Everybody crossed the line and they went, okay, now what? And Obama went, I was just trying to be cool. That's all. It's all good. I don't know. Pretend I didn't say it. See you later. Deuces. I'm out. Going to play basketball. I'm going to go play hoops. I mean, the Iran negotiations, if that's what you call it, the Iran situation's a joke. I mean, just the fact that we deal with a country that screams, not to America, not to America. They dance in the streets, not to America. You know, when did we get soft? I'll tell you when. When the liberal agenda jacked, literally hijacked, the extreme left hijacked this country. And they embedded themselves into every single newspaper and television channel and radio. I mean, really, like I've said before, when people go, well, conservatives own the radio airwaves, there's no liberal talk. Listen, conservatives are on AM stations. Okay? You ever heard an AM station? It's horrible. Okay? It's horrible. The FM dial, sounds better. You can access it more. And just because the programming isn't talk orientated, the morning shows are liberal, the DJs talking between records, liberal. Every aspect of their agenda is liberal. We used to be tough. And I know liberals hate. I know liberals hate that aggressive posturing. I know it. That's that's their MO. We shouldn't go to war. We shouldn't be aggressive. We should talk. We should negotiate. We need a leader who will negotiate. We need a leader who will sit down. And it's funny because how they act when it comes to North Korea, Iran, and every other foreign policy issue, how the liberals, how the leftists want everybody to act when it comes to foreign policy issues is not how they act when it comes to domestic issues. I mean, let's face it. Our country, when it comes to domestic policy, would be in such a better place, would be less divisive. We would have real legislation, real laws, things that actually help people. Things that are sensible. If this president and the people that have this president in this bubble actually negotiated and sat down with different people on the right to discuss policy and how to get certain things done to make everybody somewhat happy, because you're not going to make everybody happy all the time. So when it comes to foreign policy, the left wants to negotiate with everybody. They don't want to show any force. They don't want to be tough of any kind. But when it comes to domestic policy, dealing with our own people, it's beat you up, cram it down your throat, no negotiations. It's amazing. Oh, you guys don't want to pass this bill? I'm going to go around you. Oh, you don't want to pass? I'm going to go around you. Oh, you don't want to do this? I'm going to go around you. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. You would think it would be reverse. You would think that this president, or any president, would negotiate. You know what? I take that back. Because believe it or not, past presidents, even George Bush Jr., negotiated with Democrats. Bill Clinton negotiated with Republicans. Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan negotiated with Democrats. How? Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, if you want to call friends, I mean, I don't know if they were best buds, but they definitely were not enemies. When it comes to domestic policy, this president acts like a tyrant to his own people. He is a tyrant. And when it comes to overseas matters, we are beyond weak. We are basically non-existent. I mean, look what Saudi Arabia did. Look what Saudi Arabia did. Think about that. Saudi Arabia, in one day, executed, I don't even, so many people, I would say your head would spin. But in Saudi Arabia, your head gets cut off. Saudi Arabia executed, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 people. Lost count. All in one day. Cut their heads off. I mean, they did things that we condemn ISIS for doing. When ISIS cuts people's heads off, we sit there and go, barbaric monsters, the face of evil. And there's quote unquote an ally of ours doing the exact same thing. Public squares, cutting people's heads off. Saudi Arabia cut the head off of a very famous cleric. A very famous cleric. Somebody that had spoke out against the government of Saudi Arabia. Said, hey, we should be allowed to do this, we should be allowed to do that. Stuff that we do here in America. And we had told Saudi Arabia, hey, listen, still cut that dude's head off. We told Saudi Arabia, don't cut that dude's head off. You will inflame the region even more. Iran, their minds. Do not cut that guy. I mean, it didn't happen. And everybody was surprised. Now, maybe when it comes to state-run media, they have to act surprised, or they have to have a cover story that says they're surprised. The administration surprised. Oh, it came out of left field. But no, this administration had known about what could happen. This administration told Saudi Arabia, do not do it. And Saudi Arabia went, yeah, go F yourself. Our biggest allies next to Israel in the Middle East said, go F yourself. And then they cut guy's head off. Amazing. Amazing. And state-run media is creating such a subterfuge, because if those 7 or 8 or 9 million people that decide presidential elections really knew what was going on, there would be a Republican in the White House. I promise you. Promise you. This is the third test conducted by North Korea under the Obama administration's foreign policy gurus, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry. I mean, what a team. What a team. Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. Under their awesome, I mean awesome, Secretary of Stating, outside of the United States, has literally become anarchy. Literally. Anarchy. In 2013, they conducted a nuclear test. I mean, it's wrong. They violate when we, because let's face it, we control the UN. We override the UN. We control. We are the policemen. End of story. We are the policemen. 2013, they conduct a nuclear test. Remember all the hubbub about Iran having the capabilities to build a nuclear weapon. Remember all of these negotiations, everything that we were doing, because we couldn't have them making a nuclear weapon. All the while, North Korea makes nuclear weapons. They test nuclear weapons and They have talked about destroying the United States of America with nuclear weapons. We do nothing. We do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why this president and this administration, why they do what they do is mind-boggling. It really is. It's mind-boggling how he got elected president. I'll never get. Just like people questioned the wisdom of people who look at Donald Trump and say he would be a good president. I questioned that same wisdom when people looked at Obama and said, yeah, he'll be a good president. Mm-hmm. And then after 4 years going, you know what? These last 4 years, everything's awesome. He really knows what's going on. Whether it's domestic or foreign, he's just, yeah, that guy, mm-hmm, yeah. It's mind-boggling. Just mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. And I even throw in the situations with Russia into the mix. Because to me, Russia is a totally different animal. And they've always been a totally different animal. When you hear people bring up Crimea, you're like, well, they also had a situation in, Georgia? Under the Bush administration's watchful eye. To me, Russia is a totally different animal. Because Russia is our equal. For all practical purposes, Russia is our equal. And they've always, always sat by and let us basically do whatever we want. They really have. They've let us do whatever we've wanted to do. If we decide somebody is acting bad and we want to go into their country and take them out, rather it's Gaddafi, rather it's Manuel Noriega, rather it's trying to overthrow the Shahs in Iran, Russia's always just, it's America. So my feeling is every once in a while, you got to let Russia do something and go, it's Russia. So I take Russia out of the mix. When you hear people go, look at Syria, look at Iran, look at North Korea, look at ISIS, look at that whole Russia. This president, this administration's weak. I agree with all of it, except Russia. Except Russia. And that's really how it should be. And Ronald Reagan understood that. You know, there was a lot of things that I didn't like that Ronald Reagan did, but there was a lot of things that I did like. Now, I was a little child when Ronald Reagan was president, but I read. Okay? I read. There's a lot of aspects of Reagan's presidency that was very, very positive. And foreign policy, regardless of Iran-Contra, Nicaragua, when it came to the big stuff, like Russia, Reagan was successful. Reagan was successful. Our president, whew, brutal. Seriously, brutal. Brutal. I don't even know what's going to happen in the next, forget weeks, days. The next days. What's going to happen? I wouldn't be surprised to see Iran and Saudi Arabia go to war, which is hilarious into itself, because you have Shia versus Sunni. You basically have two Muslim factions that despise the West. One is open about their disdain for the West, and the other is secret. But make no mistake, they both hate us. They both despise us. And they both, at one time or another, have been part of organizations that have killed Americans. Most recently, when it comes to Saudi Arabia, 9/11. And every other attack that have happened in this country, all with the exception of the Boston Bomber Brothers, somehow has a trace back to Saudi Arabia. So the comedy factor of that situation is you have two people that hate us potentially trying to kill each other. Potentially trying to kill each other. And we, hey, talk to Ban Mookie. UN Security Council boss, Ban Mookie. Hey, Bang, what are we going to do? Oh, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do about North Korea? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. It's like they got Shaq in there. I don't know. Well, you know, this is the third time that North Korea has done something that we told them not to do. What should we do? I don't know. And, of course, the White House is saying, well, you know, evidence is showing that it's not an H-bomb. It's not consistent with an H-bomb. it was just a really big explosion that, you know, created a massive, massive earthquake. Oh, got ya. Guys said, state-run media is doing everything they can to get everybody away from seeing this president completely crawl into a fetal position and cry in the corner like he did yesterday when it comes to foreign policy. Like I said, nobody's even talked about Iran testing missiles. And we even said, there's going to be some sanctions. There's going to be hell to pay. And we did nothing. Nothing. Just like we're not going to do anything about North Korea. We're going to say, oh, it wasn't an H-bomb. It was nothing. It was just some dynamite. Don't worry about it. We're not going to do anything about China, who's the only ally of North Korea, because China bends us over every day. We're not going to do anything about Syria. We're not going to do anything about anything. This is the do-nothing president when it comes to foreign policy. Domestic, he'll bully. He'll shame. He'll be a thug to his own people. But when it comes to the rest of the country, as far as foreign leaders, dignitary, whatever, China comes this country, yeah, come on. Oh, this embassy? Yeah, no problem. Oh, all of you illegals that are here? Yeah, no problem. Oh, all of you Muslims that are here? Ah, no problem. All these mosques that are plotting to attack? Ah, no problem. It's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. It's bizarre, and it's almost downright sinister. But I don't want to, you know, sound like some conspiracy nut. I'm not going to start getting crazy here. But to me, it sounds downright sinister. It really does. To me, it sounds downright sinister. All right, so let's take a break. That's your North Korea. Is it a hydrogen bomb? Is it not a hydrogen bomb? Is it just a little Korean with some sticks of dynamite? But all we know is that once again, our president gets punked on a world stage. Our president gets punked, okay, on the world stage. Or maybe I could put in a term that some of my black friends can understand. This president got pimp slapped, okay? This president got pimp slapped. Once again, on a world stage. It's the Rob Zicari Show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's discuss Ted Cruz. Let's discuss Ted Cruz and his birth certificate, which is from Canada. Here on the Rob Zicari.
The Trump campaign for months now has had a dustbin of history-like quality to it. From the vacuous sloganeering to the outright lies to even the fake hair, the whole carnival barker routine that we've seen for some time now. The question now is about the rest of the Republican Party and whether or not they're going to be dragged into the dustbin of history with them. And right now, the current trajectory is not very good. Earlier this year, House Republicans elected to their leadership somebody who famously bragged to a reporter that he's David Duke without the baggage. Earlier this month, we saw that the executive director of the Senate Republican Campaign Committee was advising candidates about how they could ride the Trump wave. And just today, the newly elected Speaker of the House said that he would vote for Donald Trump for president if he's the party's nominee. Now, I know that each of the Republican candidates has already taken an oath pledging to support Donald Trump for President of the United States if he wins the nomination. But the fact is, the first thing a president does when he or she takes the oath of office is to swear an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And the fact is that what Donald Trump said yesterday disqualifies him from serving as president. And for Republican candidates for president to stand by their pledge to support Mr. Trump, that in and of itself is disqualifying. They should say right now that they would not support Donald Trump for president. What he said is disqualifying. And any Republican who's too fearful of the Republican base to admit it has no business serving as president either.
All right, we're back. We are farmers. Bum ba dum bum bum bum. We are farmers. Bum ba bum 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 bum. We are farmers. Bum ba bum 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 bum. We are farmers. That commercial is just played way too much. And out here in California, I think you guys have it, but we have a commercial for a lawyer team called Cerrito and Barnes. They're accident lawyers. Okay? They're accident. So it goes, Cerrito and Barnes, Cerrito and Barnes, accident attorneys, 188-888. Something like that. But it literally is played, oh my God, over and over and over and like no matter what time of the day, no matter what's going on television, like TV shows and so forth and so on, Cerrito and Barnes ads, come on. Cerrito and Barnes, accident attorneys, 188-888. It's horrible. All right, so Ted Cruz, let's talk about him. My girlfriend likes Ted Cruz, so I need to talk about Teddy Cruz real quick. You know, it's funny because Ted Cruz's birth had come up long before this controversy. Yeah, there's always you never know. There's always a controversy when it comes to Donald Trump, even if he's not the person that either started the controversy or brought it to the forefront, I guess you could say. Now, when it comes to birtherism, okay, when it comes to birtherism, yes, Donald Trump was one of the loudest on the issue back in, 2012, when Obama was running for re-election? Yes, the loudest. Now, we could sit here and really break down why somebody could actually think Barack Hussein Obama was not born in this country. You know, when people automatically dismiss somebody as being kooky, nuts, you know, that's the mantra that one has to toe the line of when you talk about Obama and the whole birther movement. Oh, you're a kook, you're a nut, you're a whack job. So I'm not even going to break down the concepts of why some people think that. And to me, it has been muddied with two issues. Because you have one issue, which is Obama is a Muslim. And then you have another issue, which is Obama was born in Kenya. He was then brought back to the United States, where then they said he was born. You have two different scenarios that kind of get muddied. So in turn, if you have legitimate concepts about one issue, it gets completely destroyed because of the other concept, which is more than likely kookiness. Do I believe Obama was born in Kenya and smuggled back here, and this elaborate ruse was created in Hawaii? No. Do I believe Obama is a Muslim? Yes. Do I believe he was raised as a Muslim? Yes. Do I believe he practices it now? No. Absolutely not. But I believe that he was raised a Muslim. His father was a Muslim. His stepfather was a Muslim, and they were prominent in that community. I think he was raised in that faith. And as he got older and became more Americanized, he did live overseas. Those are all facts. I think as he became more Americanized, as he became more Barry, I think he moved away from that. I think he moved away from all religion. I don't think he's very religious in the first place. But conceptually, I think he was raised a Muslim. And now in his seventh year, you even have uber liberals like Jonathan Capehart, who kind of let it slip when they're making their arguments on Chris Matthews' show or Lawrence O'Donnell's show. I watched Jonathan Capehart with a panel discussing Donald Trump's language, whether it comes to Muslim bans or illegals. And Chris Matthews brought up the whole birther question. And they kind of broke different aspects of it down. And the panel discussed their theories. Point Jonathan Capehart said, but what does it matter even if the president was Muslim? Now, he's not. And he real quick went, he's not. He like kind of started to stutter, but he's not. But if he was, what does it matter? So there's two issues that got mind melded. So if you brought up one issue, because it got mind melded with another issue, the whole thing gets thrown in the trash. But I think the Muslim issue is a valid issue. I mean, you can literally look at the tone, I guess liberals like to use that word, tone, that this president has taken, and how he acts as far as the Muslim communities and that region and things that are going on that we've never seen before, makes you scratch your head and go, this is kind of weird. And again, I think it goes back because there's sympathy for Islam. There's sympathy for the Muslim world because this president was brought up in it. The difference between being a Manchurian candidate and just being somebody who's brought up in that world, someone who grew up in that world, someone that talks about listening to prayer bells, Islamic prayer bells, and things of that nature. So Trump was part of that movement that questioned the legitimacy of the president. And state-run media made it a point made it a point to demonize and basically make anybody who dared bring that up into being a kook, being a nut job, being a wing nut. So if you were a TV show host, or you were a radio show host, or you were a columnist, or any part of the media, the heads of these conglomerates basically sent word down and you can say this about Democrats. You can say this about the president. You could say this about, Hillary Clinton. You could say these are the yeses. It's almost like the seven dirty words. And then they went, but you can't say Obama is a Mangerian candidate. You can't say Obama wasn't born in this country. If you do, we're basically going to throw you off television. We're going to throw you off the internet. We're going to be done with you. So everybody took that position. Everybody took that position. Even the Muslim angle, people were told, we'll let you tread on that, but you can't cross the line, but we'll let you come close. And like I said before, to me, that's a argument. That's something that I would legitimately have with anyone. As you've seen, Jonathan Capehart, it was a MSNBC show probably on Chris Matthews probably a month ago. That's a debate that's legitimate. To sit there and go, you know, I think this president is Muslim at heart. He might not be Muslim now, which, again, I don't think he practices any religion, but I think he's Muslim at heart. When he's at prayer breakfasts, running down Christians and bringing up the Inquisition and bringing up Christians slaughtering people and comparing that to aspects of Islam and not mentioning Islam and just all of the things that he's done, it's a legitimate argument to go, man, you know, yeah, he probably doesn't throw down a prayer rug in the Oval Office and start saying Allah Akbar, but there's definitely sympathy to Islam and Muslims because he was brought up in that world. I mean, I was brought up as a Democrat. I was brought up as a Christian. I was brought up a Democrat. And I was that way for, I'm 42, what, 41 years of my life? That stuff happens. So Trump questioned. But let's face it, it was a political maneuver. It was to inflame. And I guess I don't get at what point did politics become something that has limits and has rules and has boundaries? If I'm running against an individual, I'm going to do everything I can do to win. End of story. End of story. That's how it's always been. But now we're in this weird liberal era where people on the left are so appalled. Oh my God. How could you say, I want to win? I want to win. It's about winning. At what point in our lives did we accept the liberal premise of being ninth place was good, was acceptable? Losing has never been an option. Losing has never been an option. Imagine all of the things that this country has gone through where winning was the only acceptable outcome. Rather, you're talking about the Civil War. Rather, you're talking about voting rights for women, voting rights for blacks, segregation, World War I, World War II. Just finishing was never an option in any of those situations. We're talking about polio, measles, living past 35. We've had to win. We've had to win to survive. But at some point, this leftist, pinko, liberal agenda hijacked the country. And now it's not about winning. It's about showing up. It's about showing up. Hey, Nazis, we're not going to beat you. Hey, Japan, we're not going to beat you. We're just showing up to say hi, bye-bye. Hey, polio. Hey, bubonic plague. We're just here to say hi. Hey, women can vote. Bye-bye. Blacks can vote. Bye-bye. Hey, blacks can drink out of the same water fountain as whites. Bye-bye. That's where we are now. Damn, I didn't win. That's all right, Johnny. There's nothing wrong with second place. I didn't even get second place. That's all right, Johnny. Third place. I didn't even get third. I got 13th. Well, 13th is good. Lucky 13. No, I think that's bad luck. 13's like, you know, Friday the 13th. No, not in the liberal world. 13 is good. So when Trump is out there in 2012 questioning Obama's birth, it's to win. It's to get Mitt Romney, that hunk of wood, elected. To get that wood with eyes elected. Plain and simple. And now what happens? Yesterday. And listen, if you don't think it was planned, you're as stupid as the liberals. The Washington Post runs an article that says, Trump says Cruz's Canadian birth could be very precarious for the GOP. So, of course, everybody jumps and says, oh, Trump's doing the birther thing to Ted Cruz. Now, first off, Ted Cruz has been having his balls busted about being born in Canada for years, because when people questioned Obama's birth credentials, Ted Cruz was one of the people that never pushed back on the claims that Obama was born in Kenya. So people would post Ted Cruz's birth certificate, and people would mock Ted Cruz and say, this guy was born in Canada. If you want to be technical, everything that the birthers claimed that Obama was, technically, Ted Cruz is. Because remember, the question of Obama's mother was never on the table. Nobody ever said, oh, Obama was born in Kenya to a bunch of tribal people. A lady with a bone in her nose and a guy, you know, with a plate in his lip. Nobody said that. Nobody's ever questioned if Obama's mother was American. Everybody questioned where he was born. So the birthers and people associated with the birther movement basically claimed Obama was exactly what we know for a fact is the Ted Cruz situation, which is an American woman lives in a foreign country, is impregnated by a foreigner, and gives birth to a child on foreign land. And that child had dual citizenship up to a few years ago. So up for a few years ago, Ted Cruz was always considered American slash Canadian. Many years, long before Donald Trump's interview yesterday for the Washington Post, people had busted Ted Cruz's balls because in theory, if you're going to go after Obama, you have to go after Ted Cruz. If you are a true birther, you have to go after Ted Cruz. because it's the same situation. American mom gives birth, foreign country, and is impregnated by a foreigner, by someone who is not an American citizen. That child then comes back to the United States, and that child is an American citizen. So, yesterday, when Robert Costa, I like Robert Costa, I do, I like Robert Costa, he needs to lay off the cheeseburgers a little. He does. He needs to lay up the cheeseburgers. Okay? He needs to lay up the cheeseburgers because he's getting fat. All right? And Philip Rucker. I've never seen Philip, but I know Robert. He's a good man. They brought up the Ted Cruz birth situation to Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't have a press conference and go, I want to make a statement. I have a serious problem with Ted Cruz. He never did that. Costa knew what he was doing. Costa has been following the Trump campaign the entire time the Washington Post. He's basically assigned to the Trump campaign, just like Katie Turr, okay? Katie Turr, who, by the way, gets fashion tips from her dad. Look that up. Katie Turr from MSNBC, who used to date Keith Olbermann, also gets her fashion sense from her father, Bob Turr. Look it up. Anyways. Robert Costa said to Trump, hey, have you heard about Ted Cruz and this birth issue? Have you heard people grumbling about it? That's basically what was said to Trump. It was basically said, hey, would you like to comment on what we've been hearing on the campaign trail from some people about Ted Cruz's Canadian birthplace? So they set it up. They set it up. And, of course, Trump dove in. He dove in. He said, Ted Cruz's Canadian birthplace was a very precarious issue that could make the senator from Texas vulnerable if he became the Republican presidential nominee. Republicans are going to have to ask themselves, do we want a candidate who could be tied up in court for 2 years? That'd be a big problem. It'd be a very precarious one for Republicans because he'd be running and the courts may take a long time to make a decision. You don't want to be running and have that kind of thing over your head. I hate to see something like that get in his way, but a lot of people are talking about it, and I know that even some states are looking at it very strongly. The fact that he was born in Canada and he had a double passport, which is what I said. Again, before Trump even brought this up, this was an issue that people discussed. Okay? This was an issue that people discussed. And they discussed it, which is funny, because this hit the news wires last night. And state-run media was bringing it up. They were shocked. They were discussing, oh, Trump is at it again. Uh-oh, look what Trump's doing. Birtherism to Ted Cruz. And yet, state-run media, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Chris Matthews, Chris Hayes, Wolf Blitzer, Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper, all of them have brought up the Ted Cruz issue as a way to push back on the Obama birther. So here's Ted Cruz, the dual passport candidate who the left, state-run media, used as a punching bag because of Obama's birther claims. And now the issue comes up, and because it involves Donald Trump, state-run media is outraged. They are. They're, oh, look what Donald Trump is doing. Yet they were doing it years ago. The fact that Ted Cruz had a dual passport and the fact that he had to basically get the Canadian passport and the fact that he was a dual citizen thrown away, that was a huge story. That was a story a while back because people speculated that meant Ted Cruz was going to be possibly running for president. So this is an issue that state-run media had brought up. State-run media did big stories on the fact that Ted Cruz had dual citizenship. And they ran stories asking how could somebody with dual citizenship, Canadian, American, run for president of the United States? Again, it's a story that state-run media talked about, brought up, made a big deal over. Donald Trump gets asked about it. He comments about it. And then people associated with state-run media act like, where did this come from? This is weird. This is strange. This just shows that Donald Trump is a kooky, kooky, kooky guy. It's like the whole celebrating after 9/11. Donald Trump brings it up. State-run media goes, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. And then people start digging up news footage from 15 years ago, showing video of Dan Rather going, there's people celebrating after 9/11. There's people celebrating watching the Trade Center come down. Article after article.
By the Republican presidential frontrunner right now, Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Good morning.
Let me ask you about these claims this way. You demand, and you've demanded of me, pinpoint accuracy when we report on things about you, including, for instance, your net worth. Why shouldn't we demand the same pinpoint accuracy in the claims that you make? Is it any hypocritical of you calling us out if we're not calling you out when you stray from the truth?
Well, now people have got my net worth right, and they're saying what my real net worth is for a long time. You know, as a private company, they weren't doing that, but now they're doing it largely, I guess, due to the big filing that I made with the federal government, with the FEC. As far as all of these claims, I believe that it's the Obama's intention. They said 10,000 people, Syrians. We don't want them because we don't know who they are, and I love the idea of building a safe zone someplace in Syria, but they said 10,000, and yet the Democratic debate, they said 65,000, to the best of my recollection. Hillary said it, and so did Bernie Sanders. You're saying Bernie Sanders is so honest. I doubt that very much. But Bernie Sanders said it, and Hillary said it. I think they were talking in the Democrat debate. I think they were talking about 65,000. I have it upon a certain amount of knowledge. I'm very friendly with a lot of people on both sides, that Obama's plan is 200 to 250,000. So he said 10. The debate said 65 already, before we even start. And I think what he really has in mind is 200,000 people, and maybe even more than that, coming into our country. And we can't have it. We don't know who these people are. They're undocumented totally. And by the way, even if it's 10,000, we can't have it. We can't have people coming in that we know nothing about. There is no paperwork, and for good reason, but there's no paperwork. And this is going to be, or has the potential to be, one big fat Trojan horse. And we cannot have that, John.
All right. Well, let's go back to let's back up here a minute. Let's go to this Jersey City comment. You said you saw this. Nobody can find evidence of this. And more importantly, the article that you tweeted out that says that this backed you up, that in itself, there were three or four different reports that month in New Jersey that said it was a myth that was spread, that it was a false rumor, FBI, you name it. Where did you see this?
Jack, I saw it on television. So did many other people. And many
Jersey
people,
City.
I've had hundreds.
You saw Jersey
in the area.
City.
I also heard Patterson. Excuse me.
Okay.
I've heard Jersey City. I've heard Patterson. It was 14 years